Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called.
Journey. We bless him again
We know the Lord is good, and his mercies endure to all generations. From generation to generation, he is a merciful God, and we are so grateful. The prophet Jeremiah remembered his affliction, the wormwood and the dove. He recalled to mind, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. We are grateful to God not only for his loving kindness and his compassion, but we are grateful for his faithfulness in spite of, brothers and sisters, in spite of anything that we lack, God has been faithful through it all. He stood by us in spite of, regardless of what your predicament is, whether you've been faithful or whether or not you've been doing what he's called you to do, God is still there to help us. He is a very present help, and we are so grateful for it. Couldn't make it without him. It's impossible to make it without him. So we thank God that he stood by us in spite of every lack that we lack. God has stood by us through it all and provided every, not some of the needs, but every need. We are so grateful that God has provided our needs, and we are, again, so grateful. We bless him over and over again. We exalt his holy and righteous name in the earth. We exalt him. We lift him up. We bow before him. We lay prostrate. And we give him thanks through it all. Another day's journey. The old saint said, another day. And I'm certainly glad about it. Another day's journey. And, of course, in this experience called life, we have gained so much more. We are so much closer to that point. The appointed time when he will soon come back for his bride. And God kept us alive, through it all. Again, we're talking about the end time. We are grateful that God is preparing his people, things that will soon come to pass, these things that will soon come on this earth. My brothers and my sisters, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble, when the church is raptured from this earth, the one world order is put into place. And we're talking about a terrible situation that will take place here on the earth, killing and the wars. It is going to be a terrible situation. Satan gives his power to the Antichrist. And, of course, there is, he presents himself as the Messiah. Of course, the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. So God turned them over to a strong delusion that they might believe the lie. The Bible tells us that in 2 Thessalonians. So, brothers and sisters, what are we saying? What are we saying tonight? We're just simply saying, God is saying, be ready. Be ready. It's time to put your face, to the face of God. It's time to turn away from the things of this world. The Bible says it like this: look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we need to be in a position to focus ourselves on our heavenly calling. Understand that the church has a heavenly calling. They are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The church, again, the calling is a heavenly calling. Citizenship is in heaven. Conversation is in heaven. Name has been changed. God has prepared a place for his bride. He said he would come again and receive him unto himself. Says in his word that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But he goes away now. He left from the Mount of Olives, and he promised them the promise of the Holy Ghost. And on the 50th day after the resurrection, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, like a mighty rushing wind, and that was the beginning of the church. The power of God was moving in the place. It said it sounded like a mighty rushing wind and fell upon them with cloven tongues of fire, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So we thank God for the promise of the Holy Ghost. He said he would not leave us comfortless, but he would send us a lover, which is the Holy Ghost. And he would lead us and guide us and teach us and bring all things back to our remembrance, that he would reveal God to us. So we are so grateful for the gift of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, who teaches us, who leads us, who guides us, who brings all things back to our remembrance, who changes our vile nature and give us the nature of God. You know, we have got to learn how to crucify this flesh. We've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We've got to learn how to submit ourselves to God. We have to give him our whole heart, give him our full attention. You know, the biggest problem with us, we're so caught up in this world, in this life, and the things of this world, and it's taking us away, the weight and the sin that so easily beset us. You know, we are so caught up in the man-made affairs and man-made situations, and it's taking us away from our first love. You know, one, he told the church at Ephesus to go back and do their first work. You know, he gave them time to do it. He said, if not, you would come back and remove the candlestick, you know, the anointing. Now, how in the world can you make it without the anointing of God? People, we need God. We need him for this journey. You know, it's impossible to make it without him. We need him. You know, we need him. We need to walk closer to him. You know, we need to become more dedicated to our calling and to the purpose of God in your life. You know, saints, he calls you to be a saint, not a Christian, but a saint. High calling. High integrity defied, washed in the blood, pure, you know, holiness. All of these things are high callings. You know, there's a higher calling of God. We give him our heart. You know, we don't worship him with our mouth, but we give him our heart. And not heart consent or mind consent, but heart consent. You got to love him. You got to love him. Faith, you know, the love that you have for him constrains us. In other words, we love him more than anything else. And because we love him and we enjoy being in love with him and him loving us, that we don't let anything come in between that relationship. You know, we don't let anything come and separate us and confuse us. We want him more than anything else. Nothing satisfies you. Once you come into the presence of God, nothing satisfies you. You know, nothing's going to satisfy you but being in his presence. You know, once you taste it and see that the Lord is good, sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb, once you have done this, once you have truly come into his presence, you know, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And in his right hand is pleasure forevermore. Once you have done this, then nothing is going to satisfy you. You know, you can try it. You know, nobody's going to love you the way the Lord loves you. And he loves you and he satisfies you completely. He knows how to do it. He knows how to satisfy the longing heart. He said, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. So we thank God for his presence. We call on his holy and righteous name. If there's a time to draw near to him, These are the times, these are the days that they warned us about. These last and evil days. You know, these last days, perilous times. The nation that forget about God, God said he would turn them into hell. You know, a perverse, provocative people who lost the fear of God. They have no fear. Life or death. No fear of God. So they do anything, say anything. Brothers and sisters, this ought not be. So we thank God. We thank God for that faithful few that pray and call on his name, that lay prostrate, that cry loud and spare not and warn this perverse generation. So we thank God for the laborers in the vineyard who love God, love his word, and want to see his will be done. So we thank God for the we bless their bless his holy and righteous name. We're going to go to the word. Matthew chapter 24 is what we're going to pick up on tonight. We're still dealing with the end time. We're still talking about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming back for the early and the latter rain. Gather his people, you know, the fruit, these grapes. Oh, we bless him. Oh, thank the husbandman. Waited patiently on the early and the latter rain. Amen. We bless his name. We're going to start in Matthew 24, starting at verse 9. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I'm going to read that again. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh, we thank God. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And ye shall therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. It says, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let us approach the throne of grace, the throne of mercy, that we might obtain grace, we might attain help in the time of need. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we come now before you, we ask, first of all, Lord, to give us a spirit that's worthy to come in your very presence. Father, we ask that you wash us in your blood, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord. As we come before you, Lord, we just bow in your presence. We ask you, Lord, to send the teacher, the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of truth. We ask him to lead us and guide us and teach us and bring all things back to our remembrance, the things that are necessary for this worship experience on tonight. We're grateful for the Holy Ghost. We ask, we're grateful for him. We can't make it without him. We just say, yes, Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. Now speak, Lord, that your people will hear and understand your instruction and righteousness. Give us a thy word, Lord God. Send us a fresh word on tonight. fresh manna from above, bread of heaven feed us until we want no more. The table of the Lord is prepared. You know, we've come here to dine, Lord. We just ask that you would speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Send your word with power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, I reduce myself. I say, use me, Lord, as your vessel to speak on tonight. Lord God, we thank you for it. We ask that you bless us, Lord. Bless and keep every one of us, Lord God. Keep our family members. Keep us, Lord. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. We thank you for faith, most of all, to believe your word. Give us the faith to believe and the grace to perform those things that you've given us and the understanding that you would have us and the things that you would have us to do. Give us the grace, God, to get to that appointed time when it's done, where we can do your will. We bless you, Lord, for all things. We count it all joy. We bless your holy and righteous name forever. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God, and amen. Amen. Matthew 24. As you look at verse 9, and shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let's look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin and the effects of sin on the heart. Sin is a disease. You know, sin will kill you. The wages of sin is death. You know, it's the power of sin. You know, this whole world is suffering. Sin sick, they're suffering from sin, you know, so much so that darkness, you know, there's so much darkness in the world because of the deeds of the people are evil, and their thoughts are evil, you know, there's so much going on in the world, you know, when you look at it from God's perspective, you know, we have lost a lot, you know, we've gained a lot of things in technology. But as far as a culture and as a people, we have lost a lot. You know, we don't share and talk, and we don't take the time for each other, family members. We don't take the time out to reach across. You know, we don't take the time to, you know, share that love with each other. You know, be there for the family. People are so busy rushing here and there. Lifestyle has changed. Not only lifestyle, the fact that people are so, not only have they fallen, but they have fallen so deeply in sin. You know what? You know, you could easily slip in a place where you know, your routine and your, you know, you'd be surprised at how people just fall, dive into a situation, and years later they don't recognize, they don't understand how in the world did their life get to this place. Think about life, you have to constantly be trying to make some kind of upward bound, try to do some positive things, try to build on positive results, you know, kind of, you know, being active in the church, being active, you know, in in your studies and be practicing putting this Christian or this saintly lifestyle to work. You know, once you, you know, if you sit down and get comfortable and, you know, start, you know, allowing yourself to just withdraw easily away from the things of God, then you fall into all kinds of degradation. You know, every living thing is expected to grow. And we expect to grow and increase in knowledge and understanding. But it's purpose in your heart to do these things. Otherwise, you got to get up and do something about it. You know, you can't expect to get to the place in God in life if you're not putting forth any effort, if you're not doing anything about it, if you're not trying to perfect your life in some form or fashion. You know, when you see weakness, when you have negativity in your life, you have to do something to improve your situation. You know, if you're not improving on what you do, then, of course, what's happening is you're falling backwards. In other words, you're losing the territory that you have. It's one thing getting to the top in life. You know, people want to go to the top. They want to be the best. They want to have the best. They want to – getting there is one thing. But if you don't have what it takes to stay at the top, then you will eventually find yourself falling and then having to climb back up to the top. You see, that's the dilemma right there. Because most people get stuck in their problems and their situation. They lose their way. And most of them don't have they don't have the energy, the strength, and the fortitude to push themselves back up. So getting up becomes a problem. Getting to the top is easy, simple. Maintaining, if you don't have what it takes to stay there, then, of course, you're not going to be able to maintain that position. So we got to keep on keeping on. You got to try to do what's right. You have to try to do to have to get more and to keep building, you know, this building, you know, building on the foundation and moving upward, the upward bound, you know, trying to strive to do better. You know, we bless God. I mean, because iniquity does abound, sin will take you out. You know, we live in a sinful society that's disconnected. Fear, as opposed to having faith and love, you know, fear enters the heart and it paralyzes us. You know, we become jealous, we become, you know, separated because of, you know, intimidation or some kind of situation going on, and there's no unity. And because there's no unity, there's no strength. You know, people just, we need each other. You know, we need to be able to see the good as opposed to looking for the bad. You know, it's easy to see bad in people. But if you look for the good, then you'll see the good. But if you look at that, look for something negative, guess what? That's what you're going to see. People focus on the negative. Building ourselves up in the faith. You know, being strong, you know, sitting on the word, sitting on a good teaching, you know, reading books, reading your word, spending time in worship, your own personal worship, you know, being in a place where we could, you know, reach out to God, you know, reach out to him in our heart, you know, talk to him. Let him talk back to us, you know, this kind of fellowship, you know, strengthening our bonds and relationships. You know, building ourselves up, you know, reading this word, you know, listening to the word, you know, putting on some song or something that's going to encourage your heart. You know, all of this is so necessary. You know, all of this is so necessary to build that strong faith and foundation, you know, to build yourself up. Amen? Because iniquity, sin, erodes the foundation. You know, it's like cancer. It just eats. You know, a little leaven, they say, leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, you can't sin just a little. We can't just compartmentalize our life. Once you compromise something and begin to compromise over here, then we compromise a little bit more over here. You know, so we begin to compromise, and after a while, you lose your place. because you've become weakened because of the compromising position that you allow yourself to take. So because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold in the heart. Well, people, if you live in a society where it seems like people, you know, they're not people, they just look like people. But there's no continuity, there's no sharing, there's no giving. You know, when you don't smile, when you can't say hello or exchange some kind words, then people back away and they put distance because they don't want to incur any kind of risk dealing with you. You know, attitudinal, having fly off the handle because somebody say something. And, you know, all of these things that become a problem, you know, the simple things in life become a problem. You know, we got to, there's some things, you know, we have got to just learn how to do. You know, it doesn't take a lot. You know, the Bible says, oh, no man, nothing but love. You know, sometimes it doesn't take but a little bit to be nice, to even to have the continence. In other words, you know, when you smile, it brings people to you. But if you constantly look like you're unapproachable, then, of course, people back away from you. You know, they don't know what to expect. So they back away from you. You know, we got to be in a place where people see Christ in you, the love of Christ manifested in your heart. In other words, you know, a lot of times you don't have to wear a big cross or some big sign on your chest to say that you're a Christian, just the way you live, you know, the way you conduct yourself, you know, you'd be surprised. What do you think the world needs? You know, what does the world need? The world today needs love and a lot of it. That's what the world needs. It needs truth. It needs to be told the truth. And we tell the truth in love. But it needs love. Does anybody care? That's the question. Is anybody here? Does anybody care? That's the question. That's really the relevant question. Does anybody really care? Believe me, we've got to take the time to reach across. We've got to take the time to respect each other as a people. And reach across and connect. Keep the bonds of peace and unity. You know, we have got to keep this flow. Amen. Let's go a little bit further on tonight. I want to bring up some new scriptures coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is where we're going to next. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the time and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not of darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light. Listen to me. Children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us sleep. Let us not sleep and do as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God richly bless the reading of his word. Verse 10, Let's read that also. Who died for us, that whether we be awake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Amen. The time and the season, brethren, Brother Paul writes to us, and let us know that we have no need that he write unto us concerning these things. I mean, the signs of the time. You know, not only that, it's just the shifting of the world, the whole creation, as well as the creature, groaneth and travaileth, waiting on the redemption, our kinsman redeemer. You know, Jesus Christ came and paid gave his life as the kinsman redeemer, redeemed us, paid his life, gave his blood for our redemption, fulfilling the 32nd Jubilee cycle. The Messiah was cut off at the 69th week. You know, just look at the signs of the time, the weight, look at the scales, the way the scales are balanced, you know, the scale of weight and the balance, you know. But, you know, there's so much going on here, you know, the disturbance in the atmosphere. You know, the world itself is a different place. Not only the people in the world, but the planet itself is a different place. So let us look at these things, the time and the season, brethren. The Bible says you have no need that I write unto you. Have no need. First of all, you're children of the light. Not children of darkness, but you're children of the light. God has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of their son, Jesus Christ. You know, he translated you out of darkness. You know, people are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You know, the nature of a sinner, he sins because that is his nature. When God has given us grace, you know, we are not under the law of sin, but under the law of grace. You know, God has given us the law of grace. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for the Paul to say to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of God in Christ Jesus have made us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that he might destroy sin in the flesh. You know, God changes our vile nature. You know, told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now it's up to us. It's up to us to yield our members to the Spirit of God. It's up to us. You know, it's up to you to want to live a godly life, to live a God-fulfilled life, you know, to be a vessel of honor. It's up to you. It's up to you to talk the talk, you know, say those things that God would have us to say, you know, live the lifestyle. You know, in other words, when people see you, they see Christ. They see his Spirit on your countenance. You know, you look different. And any man being Christ, the Bible said, is a new creature. You know, you got a whole different continent. The power of God is over you and on you. You know, you have the Spirit of God, so people can literally see the power of God on you. You know, your continents change. You know, people who are in sin, they look dark. Not only they look dark, they look mangy. I mean, you can actually see the product of sin. People begin to look, their skin appearance is dark, and, you know, they look rough, they look like they're old. You know, sin will put all age on you. People look old. But when you come over into this faith, you know, God gives you beauty. For ashes. He beautifies you. You know, he gives you a different, your skin complexion. Everything changes. So we thank God for his presence in the life of the saints. the saving power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, truly, to the utmost, Jesus saved. And you can see that saving power working in you. You know, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know, God changes us. Amen? You know, thank God I'm changed. Thank God for the change. You know, it is what it is, brothers and sisters. Let's look at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not of darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Understand, two different worlds, two different kingdoms. The kingdom of the devil and darkness and sin, or the kingdom of our dear son, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. He is light in a dark world. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And that light shineth in darkness, and darkness apprehended it not. You know, light is stronger, greater than darkness. Amen? The light of the world is who Jesus is. And when you become a child of God, you step into the kingdom of light. And that light transforms you out of darkness. Amen? We thank God for the light. I bless him. The greater one lives in you. Lesser authority yields to greater authority. And the greater one lives in me. I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we thank God for it. And God alarms you. Number one, you're walking in a place where he's talking to you, and you're able to understand or discern what he's saying to you. You know, you're not walking in ignorance. You got the word, the light of the word, standing of the word. You got the Holy Spirit talking to you. And, of course, he's telling you what God would have you to do. He came here to reveal God to you. You know, that's his purpose. You know, the Holy Ghost. Without the Spirit of God, you're none of his, number one. And the other problem is the fact that you can't even know the things of God. But if you are led by the Spirit knows all things. Spirit knows everything. Amen? Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The watch. Are you faithful in the things that God has given you to do? You know, write the vision. Make it plain. He that readeth can run. For the vision shall speak and shall not lie. In the end, it shall speak. The just shall live by faith. They shall walk by faith and not by sight. You know, God said it. If he said it, and he has, what do we do? Do we believe it, or do we doubt God? You know, we believe it. We stand on it. You know, he's coming back. Signs of the times. Brothers and sisters, be ready when he comes. He said, watch and be sober. Our words, don't get caught up in the affairs of this world and this life and the people and their problems and their situations, because everybody don't want to see Jesus. Understand this clearly. Everybody ain't going to make it. And they don't necessarily love Jesus the way you love him. So don't get caught up in what people do. You got to have this thing right for yourself. You know, people are something. You know, people are something. I'm trying to tell you. Don't get caught up in what people is doing. Get caught up in what God would have you to do. Be in his will. Be in his way. You know, walk in his word. Do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen? Sober. That's what he says. You know, because people get drunk. They literally get drunk, but they also get drunk the affairs of this life. And all they're consumed with is people problems and issues. And, you know, whether they're successful or whatever it is, you know, they get caught up. And that situation consumes them. For they would sleep in the night, and they be drunken or drunken in the night. You know, this is a true thing. You know, this is a true thing. You know, the straight and the narrow. And few findeth that way, that pathway that leads to eternal life. You know, those that are already asleep in Christ, you know, to be absent from this body is to be, so they already made it in. They're at home. They're at rest. God is bringing them back for the redemption of their bodies. You know, they're already in a place. Abraham's bosom was Lazarus, you know, in a place of comfort. But he was being comforted, you know. So those that are sin gone, they don't have to concern themselves with this. But we here now, living in this end time, in this place and time where we're living at, we have to be concerned about this. You don't want to miss the rapture and get caught up in this thing called the tribulation. It's going to be a terrible time. I'm trying to tell you, it's going to be something out of this world. The seed of Satan, understand who's in charge. The seed of Satan, the son of perdition. Understand who's the one world order is already in place. And when the church is raptured, then the man of sin can be revealed. Okay? I'm just warning you. I mean, the word is here. It's on record. It's all, the word is right by itself. We just obey the word. If we be on our, listen to what the God is saying to us, then we'll be okay. But if you take it for granted, then, brothers and sisters, you know, you put yourself in a situation. It's beyond me. Why? But, of course, people do what they want to do. Watch as well as pray. Always that you be counted worthy to escape. Until you see Jesus, until he comes back for his bride, until you see him face to face, brothers and sisters, you better be on your watch. Be on your watch. The watchman, you know, you got to have a vision. You have to have the faith, first of all, to believe this. Let's go a little bit further. Let us, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith. You have to believe. You have to believe God. You have to believe his word. And we're not just talking about hearing only. We're talking about being a doer of the word. Just sit here and listen and do nothing. You know, you got to work on this thing. Work on your soul salvation. Work on it. You know, draw nearer to him with your whole heart. Forsake the things of this world, the things of this life, the people of this world. Develop your personal relationship with the Almighty God. You got to have faith to move him in your situation. Faith. You got to obey. Amen. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, salvation. Faith and love. Loving God and saying that you love him, but not loving your brother that you see every day. Bible says that we are a liar and the truth is not in us. So we have to show the love of Christ. You know, that's the most powerful thing in the world, is love. You know, love will endure the test of time. Love covers the multitudes of faults. You know, love will endure. In other words, it will go along. Love, very powerful thing, very powerful energy. When we don't have it, it disturbs our mind, disturbs our spirit. So we have to labor. We have to continue in love. Amen? Faith and love. Two key ingredients in being a saint. Believing God, believing His Word, having the faith, and then having the nature of God, which is love. God is love, little children. Love. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope of salvation. Christ did it all. He paid it for Christ. You know, He paid the price for our redemption. He paid it all. You know, wasn't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The hope of glory, Christ in you. And because of the resurrection, Jesus Christ was declared the Son of God with power because of the resurrection. 3 days, y'all, he rose from the dead. He defeated death and hell. You know, he took away the keys from Satan and declared himself to be Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, having the keys of death and hell and victorious over all things. Then raised up, God put everything under his feet. God raised him up, amen, and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, Lord of lords, amen. So we thank God for Jesus. He is our hope. He is our hope. It lies in him. He is our hope for tomorrow. It lies in him. He is the hope. He is the light of the world. There's no other hope that we can hope in other than him. If Jesus can't do it, if God can't do it, it can't get done. It's just not anything. All things are possible with God, to him who believes. You know, there's no anything in this world or anything outside of this world. You know, God can do all things. He has all power. He has all authority. He is the hope of the world. He told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? Do you believe, church? Do you believe? Are you sold out? Are you sold out for Jesus? Are you sure enough sold out? Or do you look for another? Should we look for another? This is what John asks. Or do you believe that Jesus is the one? He's our kinsman redeemer. It's all in him. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwelleth all the fullness. In him all things consist. Amen. So we thank God for Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. Look at what it says here in verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God, church, is not going to go through the tribulation. Jesus Christ is coming back for his bride. And, of course, this is what restraineth him. you now will let until it be taken, until he be taken out of the way, and then only will the man of sin be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his spirit and the words of his testimony. You know, don't be deceived. You know, don't be moved. You know, don't be moved by letter or by word. You know, keep on looking. You know, naysayers said, you know, they make all kinds of accusations. You know, say all kinds of things, and they bring up all kinds of stuff, you know, to try to make you doubt the word of God. But the old saints used to sing a song, "You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him." The only people who can be persuaded not to serve Jesus is the ones who are not rooted and grounded in this word, in their faith. And they are moved by all kinds of faith, all kinds of side of men. You know, this is the reason why we have the fivefold ministry. You know, there's sinful man waiting to deceive, you know, so you be carried away with all kinds of doctrine and error. You know, the fivefold ministry. God appointed the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, and the apostle to oversee the body of believers. Amen. So we thank God for the gift. The gift was given for the perfecting of the saints, so you wouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine and sigh of men that wait to deceive. Amen. You know, if you know truth, if you understand truth, you know, if you know truth and understand truth, then you won't be caught up. But if you don't have what it takes, brothers and sisters, people, you'd be surprised, people and their agenda and the kinds of stuff that they talk about, try to get people involved. Listen, you know, the issue with man is sin. The only thing that's going to take sin out of a sinner's life is the blood of Christ. And then as far as the perfecting of the saints, this is an ongoing situation. If you ain't preaching on sin and coming out of sin, because God hates sin. He hates it. Loves the sinner, but he hates sin. So he wants us to come out of sin. He wants us to be like him, perfected in the faith. So we got to come out of sin. And the only thing that's going to take you out, Spirit of God, putting this word in your mind, and written on your heart, to transform the way you think so you can begin to think like a saint and live this victorious life that God would have you to live. Amen? So we thank God for the life. We thank God. Verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The church will be raptured. The word church means ecclesia, which simply means the call-out company of believers. Called out. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15, I think it's verse 16, says that Simon declared how God did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people called by his name. This is the ecclesia, the call-out ones. You know, God is calling a people. Elected from the foundation, before the foundation, and call for this appointment. Amen? Call and elected, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Then that he called, he did pre-know. And whom he know, he justified. And to him whom he justified, them he shall also glorify. What shall we say to these things? Can we say to this, if God be for us, who can be against us? He spared not his own son. How shall he not freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Amen? So we thank God for the calling and the election. Amen. We thank God for it, for the bride, the heavenly calling. Set your affections on the things above, brothers and sisters, thinking about houses and land and, you know, building some memorial to yourself. Of course, the Bible says to occupy until he comes. But don't just put your interest in the things of this world with moth and rust corrupts and thieves break through and steal. But lay aside your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. Amen. Store up your treasures in heaven. The work I do, testimony I give, you know, speak for me. Seriously, it does. You know, there's some things you can't fake out. You know, reality is reality. The things that you do speak so much louder than anything that comes out of your mouth. So let righteousness, you know, let goodness and kindness, those things that are good, that are godly edifying, be the things that you endure and endeavor to find yourself doing. So we thank God that God died for us. He died for us. Verse 10, for who died for us, that whether we be awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do. He's coming again. He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. A glorious church, a chastened bride. You know, he's going to present the church to his Father. Victorious, you know, crowned, you know, the crowns, you know, five crowns we can receive. And then we'll have on a robe of righteousness, which is the fine linen of the saints. And then we're going there for the supper feast, you know, for the marriage of the Lamb, the supper, the Lamb's supper, supper feast. Amen. So we thank God for it. Thank God. We thank God. And we thank God again for preparing all things. You know, everything is prepared. You know, he tells us to go out and compel them. When the worst problem is, when the servant went out, he told them about the feast. And everybody came back with some kind of excuse, one excuse after the other, from marriage to seeing land to proving auctions and all these things, you know, with all kinds of excuses. And then he saw there was room at the table. So he sent the servants back out into the streets, into the highways, into the hedges, and he told them to compel them to come. So there was room at the table. Bring your blind, your maimed, the lame. Go out and compel them to come. You know, this is what the Bible tells us to do. At this stage, we need to compel them to come. Come. It's all the Lord is saying to you. Come. Come without purse. Come without money. Come without script. You know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Let the unrighteous man forsake his ways, and let him return unto the Lord. So let us repent. You know, be baptized, every one of us, for the remissions of sin. And the Bible said we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, you get your confession of salvation. You know, that's all it takes, confessing him as Lord, and then you making him Lord of your life. You know, that's all it takes. What's in your heart? You know, what's in your heart? You know, make him Lord. Put him on the throne of your life. Confession, you know. A confession. The mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, man, believe unto righteousness. You've got to bring your heart. And God will never leave you. He'll never walk out on you. Whosoever will, stop here. We thank God for this word on tonight. We certainly bless God for the word that he's sent forth, power and conviction. You know, the Holy Spirit has taught us in the way of righteousness. He's simply pleading out, calling out to us to get nearer. You know, get nearer to the Lord. Draw nearer to him with your whole heart. You know, this is what God is saying. Come, all ye that are labored and are heavily laden, I will give you rest. You know, my burden is light. You know, my yoke is easy. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come. This is what God is saying. You know, come without purse. Come without money. Just come. We thank God for the word. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. At this time, is there any questions? If not, we're going to pray. And we're going to close out, and we're going to give God thanks for this service, for this worship experience on tonight. If there be none, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, we are so truly blessed by this rich word that you have spoken to our ears, words of eternal life. Father, we are so grateful for our worship experience on the night. We just ask, Lord, that you have mercy upon us, that you have mercy upon us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins. We cry out for lost souls everywhere. Father, we rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost that will draw sinful man and convict sinful man's heart and bring him back to God. We just ask that you would speak into their ears, that you would speak, Lord, that you would breathe upon these slain, that they might live. Breathe upon us the breath of life, Holy Spirit. Oh God, we are grateful for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our leader, and our guide. Father, we just ask that you would draw sinful man everywhere. Draw the church. Draw us, God. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring us nearer. Wash us in your blood, Lord. Bring us in. Bring us closer to the cross. Take closer to that place where we first came in. You know, it will be a wonderful thing. It will be a wonderful thing, Lord God. Father, we ask for your grace and your mercy, that you would turn things around, that you give us victory over the dead works of the enemy. Father, bless us now, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept, is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God. We thank God. And amen.
Me. God ain't never left me.